This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Angeline Tay. And before we head into our stories for the day, here's a quick news about Gmail. Most of us would be happy that they now accept 50 megabyte attachment in the email.
Yeah, it is really helpful because we send audio files out. But you know what? Actually, you shouldn't actually do all this. You know, sending large files out. You should use a service that, you know, you can zip it up and then you send it as one file instead of bundling in an email. Most emails would reject anyways. It's too much because they think it's spam. Mm-hmm. So be careful on this.
Yeah. Okay, we just follow the tech guru's advice. Anyway, let's move on to our first story.
Yeah, you know how internally at BFM, we've been seeing a gap within the insurance industry, and like how, you know, it's super dated and definitely, you know, it's just ripe for disruption. And true enough, a Singaporean insure tech startup called PolicyPal, they announced today that it secured an undisclosed amount seed of funding in a round led by 500 startups.
Mm, and some angel investors also participated in the round, but the startup refrained from disclosing further information. So here's some background information. PolicyPal was launched in April 2016, and how it works is it displays all your existing insurance coverage plans on a single screen.
Yeah, and it'll tell you when to renew specific plans as well as when a premium payment is due. Well, finally, I mean, you know, most of us rely heavily on some insurance agent, and usually it's, you know, a family member or family friend. And till today, I myself don't quite actually know what my coverage, you know, sort of what am I entitled to, in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, tell me about it, Jeff. So PolicyPal is using a fresh injection of capital to strengthen their product development efforts and plans to enter the Monetary Authority of Singapore's FinTech Regulatory Sandbox.
Mm, so this is just like the Bank Negara Sandbox. The aim is actually to bridge the gap between disruptive FinTech solutions and the regulatory landscape. So the Singapore government has created an experimentation space where existing legal requirements are relaxed for a specific duration of time. It helps to see the startups, you know, if their product resonates with potential users, safeguards against failure, and ensures that, you know, the overall financial system remains healthy.
Mm. And so the idea behind PolicyPal came after Val Yap, she's the CEO, she saw her mother's insurance application got rejected, and Val's mom was diagnosed with cancer at the time. So even though the mom now, she's very healthy. Mm. But the insurance company refused to pay out because the family had missed a couple of payments. And this is just because of sheer forgetfulness.
Yeah. In the same year, Val's father passed away due to a sudden heart attack. So the future CEO was unaware of just how much insurance he had and, you know, was compelled to visit an insurer branch offices just to find out. And that's when Val saw the need to assist others, you know, like her family, to manage and track insurance coverage.
Mm. And this sounds like it could just happen to any one of us, right? Mm. So at the moment, PolicyPal has about 9,000 users signed up, and I can't wait for the similar solutions for us here in Malaysia.
Yeah. Anyways, remember we talked about the rebirth of the classic Nokia 3310 recently?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't quite have the same looks or feel as the original 3310. It's still something nice to think about when, you know, and many of, you know, of us were started talking about, you know, what was our personal favorite Nokia phones, and Angie, what was your personal, you know, classic favorite Nokia phone?
I mean, classic is the 3310, like,
you were a big fan of the,
yeah, because that's like my first phone, and then after that moved on to Nokia 3100, which is a bit, you know, higher end back then. The color screen was very in thing,
screen,
and then like poly, I don't know, the sound is also, it's more than just the beeps.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah. See, I obviously had a 3310 as well, but I wasn't really such of a big fan. If you ask me my favorites, I fell in love with the banana phone. That's the one. That's called the 8110, and it's called the banana phone because it looks like a splitting banana, but it's also the one that Neo uses in The Matrix. So it was, you know, super cool to see, you know, Keanu Reeves, and, you know, he just slides the phone out. And then there's the 8254, that was known as the butterfly phone because the keyboard was, you know, it looked like a butterfly shape. I changed so many times that color of the screen itself.
And the cover, so you can buy the from Pasamalam back then.
It's so good, yeah. And then obviously my favorite was the 8850, that's the James Bond looking metal phone. phone. Actually, I got robbed. Someone stole the phone from me.
That's when you tell the birth of a tech geek here.
So, you know, guess what? HMD Global, who are the makers of that new Nokia 3310, they said that they're not ruling out the possibility of re-releasing other Nokia phones for the new generation.
James Rutherford, who is the HMD Global's VP of APAC, said that 3310 is meant to test the waters, in quotes, to see what the reception would be like. And so far, he said it has exceeded all expectation within the company. So it's, you know, good signs here.
Yeah, I also remember I had that N-Gage, which was a gaming phone. And that one was really weird to pick out answer phone calls because you had to put it at the side of your phone and everyone could see your screen because, you know, you're using it. It's just so weird. But it was still a classic, you know, to think about it. And we may actually never see these phones again because it also kind of depends on, you know, how well the company can keep up its momentum.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I was just imagine back in those days when people had to design the phones, they had so much fun. And today it's just plain rectangle screen.
Yeah, every phone looks the same.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a short break. And if you're looking for a new Android TV system, well, tomorrow is the launch of one that's been highly rated outside of Malaysia. And we'll give you the details next. BFM 89.9.
Barry fronts Motown. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, that we were just reminiscing that song was such a good song. It's been so long since we played it. Anyways, that was the XX with VCR. Now, some good news for all of you guys who've been waiting for the Xiaomi Mi Box. It's finally here in Malaysia and will go on sale officially at the end of this week. Sure, the Android-powered setup box was originally announced way back in May last year, but it's now finally making its way to our country.
And for those who are unfamiliar with the Mi Box, it supports 4K UHD content, playback at 60 frames per second. Although most movies don't actually run at such high frame rate, it also supports HDR10 standards from Android Nougat. And since the device was developed with Google, and it will also support Google Cast, so now you have an option either to get the Google Chromecast or this Mi Box.
So both devices are also slightly different. Of course, because the Chromecast, that's more of a streaming devices, and the Mi Box, that's more of a thing that you can use it on its own. The Chromecast Ultra, that's the one that it's sort of very similar to the Mi Box, but that's not available in Malaysia. You can still get it from other importers for a little bit extra, of course.
Now, back to the Mi Box, there's no telling yet if the Mi Game Controller will also be made available. Xiaomi Malaysia has promised more information soon, but they've confirmed that the Mi Box will go on sale tomorrow. So it will set you back some, 349 ringgit, which isn't too bad at all.
So moving on to our next story on Carousell, who we were just in here about this few... Last week, was it? Was this a few days ago or so?
Yeah? Last week,
Week. Now, they've taken things to the next level now with a new app for buying cars and selling cars.
So remember when Carousell bought Carly, a Singaporean startup that connects customers with used car dealerships. The fruit of this union is we know now is called Carousell Motors, which is a standalone app to help buyers find the right car choosing from 200 Singapore-based dealerships.
Yeah, so how is it different from the original Carousell? Well, the Carousell Motors app spots more detailed product listings than Carousell, which usually features, you know, product and a seller name and then a photo and a price. I mean, of course, serious car buyers will want and need more information than, you know, when seriously looking for someone to purchase.
Yeah, while the same listings also appear on the core Carousell marketplace, the new app will let buyers search specifics like make and model, specific dealers, financing options, and car depreciation. So car seekers can also compare different car listings and use chat to get in touch with dealerships directly.
Yep, and all this was made possible by Carly's team, which was, you know, fully transitioned into the building Carousell Motors. The team brought on board their technical expertise and their deep knowledge of the Singaporeans' car market. The big guns behind the app say Carousell Motors platform now has over 10,000 car listings and is adding thousands more each month.
Wow.
They didn't actually offer a specific number, though.
Yeah, it does make sense to have a separate app for this, I guess. Sanjay Shivkumar, he's formerly CEO of Carly, who is now head of Carousell Motors, said that if you've been through the experience of buying and selling a car on Carousell, it's all about optimizing the classifieds process for mobile. He said, for example, users are now getting used to expecting features like chat to contact businesses. And the same goes for dealerships who are learning to embrace it as a customer engagement tool. So it feels it's Carousell's job to train the industry to transact on mobile.
Yeah, but don't go thinking that Carousell is just going to launch, you know, new apps for every industry or product segment. Carousell Motors doesn't mean the company will be launching a separate app for different types of products unless, you know, it makes sense. And Sanjay insists that, you know, most products, the standardized app will, you know, be a good enough experience.
Mm. And Carousell Motors will be piloted in Singapore for now, helping the startup gather data and refine it before rolling out to other markets.
Mm. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back with a story on how, you know, a Norwegian broadcaster is, you know, combating these keyboard warriors and, you know, fake news and that stuff. And we can always trust the Norwegians to come up with something interesting. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Brewing Financial Minds. BFM 89.9.
And we're back, and this is Enterprise Biz Bites. Hopefully you didn't, you know, listen to the one of the promos earlier on. We were kind of like, you know,
giving us a chill.
Oh yeah, crazy. Anyways, fake news. It's been the buzz or the phenomenon of 2016 and early this year too. And you know, I kind of do sometimes enjoy reading, you know, stuff from like Fake News Malaysia. But you do have to admit that it's kind of scary the impact fake news has had in other countries like the US. It's affecting the elections and that's, you know, had a big time impact.
Yeah, and how do you sift through what is real and what is fake? How do you keep people from getting so riled up by fake news that they read or that they form negative opinions or inaccurate opinions from of the people and the issues around them? Something definitely needs to be done, and leave it to one of our favorite happy countries like Norway to make inroads into things like this.
Yeah, and also, you know, before we go into like what Norway is doing, you know how in some articles the comment sections is just flooded with spam comments, like, you know, I make $100 by, you know, just simple things, and you know, you check out this link and then when you click on it, bang, like, you know, if you're really really unlucky with a few more clicks, you may end up being a victim of like ransomware. And you know, people laugh about this, but you know, it's still happening, man. It still really is.
Yeah, and so 2 weeks ago, NRK Beta, the tech section of the Norwegian broadcaster NRK, published an explainer about how a proposed new digital surveillance law in the country. And since digital security is a controversial topic and the conversation around security issues can become heated, they needed to be careful with publishing this article, making sure everyone understood what they were reading and not get riled up about non-facts.
Yeah, so the team at NRK Beta introduced a new feature to the articles on the topic. So on some stories, potential commenters were required to answer three basic multiple choice questions about the article before they're allowed to, you know, post a comment. Wow. So for instance, in the digital surveillance story, what does DGF stands for? And you know what happened in the conversation in the comments of the article were actually a lot more respectful and also productive. And commenters were actually shared links to books and other research asking for clarification on questions, and you know, they offered constructive feedback.
Well, this reminds me of comprehension classes in school. So their goal was to ensure that the commenters had actually read the story before they discussed it, which ideally should be the case all the time. But with the influx of articles online and especially on social media these days, people tend to just skim through it and rant away on the comments section, and this is what they managed to weed out.
Clickbaits. Yeah. And a journalist at NRK said, you know, forcing users to take a little extra time to think about the comment they're about to post also kind of helped them to think about their tone. And I mean, if you spent 15 seconds on it, those maybe, you know, 15 seconds that take the edge of the rant mode when people are commenting.
And NRK Beta are used to getting unnecessary comments on their articles, especially things concerning public policy and current affairs. That's why they were inspired to try and find a way to improve the commenting experience, and finally settled on the quiz function because they thought it would ensure that commenters had at least read the story and had a common set of facts on which, you know, to base the discussion.
I think it's actually quite clever. Now, if only, you know, we can make this adaptable in the fight against fake news, it will help to weed out the ranters and, you know, the sensationalist keyboard warriors, you know. And that's a great help, but the ultimate goal is, you know, to ensure that the publics are not duped by fake reporting and inaccurate information. And, you know, that's where we need to get. Now, before we leave you with the Breakfast Grill replay, here's a recap of today's show. We talked about a Singaporean insurtech startup. It's called Policy Pad. Vell. They just secured the funding from 500 startups. And in case you didn't know who they are, they help you with your insurance policies by making them simple and just visible.
Yeah, and Jeff's dreams about his favorite Nokia phones, like the 8250 and 8810.
And the 8850 as well.
You know, yeah. It's all numbers here. And the 8850 may come to life. As HMD said, it's not going to rule out the possibility of making other Nokia phones back into the market for new generation.
Yep. And also, Norway, they seem to have the best ideas in solving first world problems as their fight against keyboard warriors, you know, who spam comments on articles by saying, you know, they make, you know, X amount of money by sitting at home. And then people fall for those things. So NRK Beta, which is a tech section of the Norwegian broadcaster NRK, now makes you take a quiz before, you know, you are allowed to comment on the article.
Yep. And coming up next is the Breakfast Grill replay. Kusu Chuang speaks to Dato' Zainal Amansyah, CEO at InvestKL, about how the weakening ringgit and the demise of TPPA has impacted investor confidence.
Yep, and this has been the Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.